Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the Captain Useless to my Sergeant Slow, it's Dan. How are you doing this fine evening, Dan?
I'm alive, more or less.
Oh, I see you're in an enthusiastic mood. Hopefully that will improve as we talk about what we're here to talk about tonight. Before we go any further, let's inject a little bit more life into the podcast by letting our three colleagues in arms introduce themselves. Guys, let her go.
Hi, it's Vicky.
It's Kate again.
Hi, it's Jason, and Scott sounds very nice tonight.
Wow. I don't know what... Thank you. I don't know what to make of that. I am closer to the microphone than I normally am, so maybe that's helping. I don't know.
Yeah, I listened to got the dulcet tones going on there.
I listened to our last podcast, which was fine otherwise, but it sounded like I was talking in another echo chamber or something, or hyperbolic chamber for that matter. So I realized maybe I need to be closer to the microphone. Anyway, we're here. Mainly, we're going to be talking about The Flash tonight, the latest episode, Enter Zoom. A few of us will be sticking around to also discuss the latest episode of Arrow, which was, I think it was called Lost Souls this evening. And we might talk about a few shows briefly after that that deal with either the undead or deadites or whatever. We'll see how it goes. But I think first and foremost, we do want to get into The Flash, because I think every episode lately has been, we're really looking forward to it. And I think we were kind of looking forward to this one. So I kind of want to be mean and start things off with my favorite thing about the episode and forget chronological order, just get to it. By far, what made this episode for me stand out was what I don't know how else to refer to it, as the Zoom Flash Domination Tour at the end, because I've watched comic book type movies and TV shows and certainly read enough over the years. The fact that Zoom didn't just, you know, pulverize Barry and hold him in front of one group of people, but he zipped to all these different areas to let everyone know what he had done, you know, to the media, to the police, to, you know, their secret headquarters everywhere. I was stunned by it. It was really, I was surprised by how visceral it felt and how, you know, how he really cleaned Barry's clock and was just carrying him around like a little rag doll. And that, those few minutes alone just made him, for me, possibly at this point, the scariest villain that Barry has encountered, even compared to Reverse Flash, Grodd, or anyone else. So I was really, in an episode that I thought was pretty good, but just, you know, just fine, that just took it to a new level, and I thought it was amazing at that point. So what did you guys think about all that?
It was one of, there were moments in that, like, the cops all shooting him and then just slowly turning his hand, which is for a guy who moves so fast to slowly turn his hand so they all have their chance to drop and hit the floor in the police station to realize, you are nothing to me. You are little people as far as I'm concerned. Everything Zoom did in that final part just proved nothing they've ever fought is anywhere close to what he is. And it also backed up how much Harrison Wells told them about it, how tough he was, that even Barry had the sense I could fight him. Immediately, Barry doesn't have that. It had to have been taken away, because Zoom, without a doubt, proved how much more powerful he is than anything they've ever thought of going after. And so it sets up to have this early in the season. It should be nice to see how it builds towards when they confront him again, because he put them on their asses, as they say at this point. They are knocked down in the truest sense.
Honestly, it was pretty terrifying.
To me, it felt like a pure comic book type moment. Like, that's the type of thing that you'd see in a comic book after a villain has defeated the hero. He just takes him to a public place and just shows, I have beaten your man. You cannot stop me. Go ahead and try it. You're not going to do it.
And my favorite part of this whole sequence is the fact that the that Zoom sounds exactly like the Gorn did on Star Trek. So, and got to talk a lot. So I like that.
Did anybody think there was going to be a public unmasking?
I was waiting. Yeah. I was waiting for him to pull his mask. I thought he was going to.
I guess I'm kind of glad he didn't, because I don't think that was important to Zoom. I don't think that's what he actually cares about. So it just that would have been just a little bit of a comic booky cliche. So I'm kind of glad they didn't bother with that. I mean, plus he knows who he is. But and quite frankly, except for except for Patty, I think everyone in Central City knows who he is at this time. We'll get to that later. I'm betting.
I'll tell you, we'll get to it sooner than you think.
Oh boy. But going back to actually what Dan said, and by the way, I approve of any Gorn reference, even when people mock that fight scene, as YouTube has it labeled as the worst fight scene of all time. I love me some Gorn. I love that episode. So screw the haters.
Whoever labeled that worst fight scene of all time, whatever they're doing right now, it's probably something really fucking pathetic. So enjoy your night, douchebag.
Oh, excellent!
Dan got fired up about a Gorn fight.
By the way, that I'm not sure because chances are I'll forget, but I feel that's not going to be the first time someone's going to call out possible audience or viewers as being morons in this podcast. That might come up in another segment later on. Depends how I feel. But anyway, back to what you were saying about Zoom and about how, like Vicky said, terrifying. What I really like about this is it's such a great marriage of Tony Todd's voice. And we know he's just a voice. It's kind of like the James Earl Jones for Darth Vader, but he's not in the outfit kind of a thing. And the incredibly scary, menacing look that they've created for Zoom. And, you know, it's nice because it's so simple, yet it's so scary at the same time. I mean, because basically it's a Flash outfit, you know, painted black and then with some funny stuff done around the mouth area. But they pull it off. It's really, I'll say this. I much prefer the look of Zoom than the look of the Reverse Flash, who I always was kind of confused by what half his outfit looked like, quite frankly.
His outfit is intimidating. Zoom's outfit is, anyway.
Yeah, down to the little talons on his fingers. It's just the small touches that make him look not like a guy in a suit, like something demonic. And it's just those small things. Yeah.
And I'll say in their fight, and you know, and TV show superhero fights can be okay. Sometimes they're kind of not so great. They do a decent job on the CW shows. You know, like the Arrow ones are always pretty well choreographed, and the Flash ones are decent most of the time. But when Zoom catches the lightning bolt and hurls it back at him, which I didn't see coming. And even though that's something I think I think is kind of invented for the show, I don't even care. It was pretty cool. So that was kind of a neat thing that they did there.
Awesome. Yeah, that was. Oh, and the breaking of his back. That was a thing that when I saw it, I went, "Did they? He just break his back?" Yes, he did. That
went
is,
all Bane on him.
Yeah, Bane had to, you know. Bane was nothing. Zoom was like full speed, just, "I'm going to punch you right in your spine." And to see like Barry bend, you're like, that's not good. That immediately, you're like, something bad's going to happen because of that. I mean, I guess it's better it happened to Barry than someone else. Because at least he is the speedster. I mean, in a show, there were lots of possible deaths for other people.
Right, but he has those recuperative Wolverine-esque kind of abilities. So,
at least yeah, we're now, Yeah, we're going to see how long it takes for him to recover from a broken spine.
Anyway, so you said you had something you wanted to say.
Okay? Yeah.
To follow up my brilliantly positive point, I think you're going to go in the other direction, and I suspect I know where you're going to go with this.
I'd like to talk about the Central City Circle of Trust, which is given to so many times the wrong people on here. Last year, who should have known? Iris. This year, it's clearly going to be, let's tell everybody but Patty, the person who should be told. And I swear to you, it seems like the writers are doing meta commentary with Patty talking about how she likes transparency and that's what she's about. And she wants to let Joe know everything. Meanwhile, everyone else is like, let's not tell everybody, but we're going to tell some random person. I'm Flash to somebody. Barry, keep your mask on for 5 seconds, would you? If you're going to just show everybody, just show everybody. Quit adding people who really shouldn't be know the secret. If Flash had shown up and talked to Linda, I think even just Flash telling her would have done something, because that would have meant, but no, he goes and pulls her mask off. That doesn't help. That didn't help at all. Because last year, the whole thing is, let's not tell Iris because she'll be a target, so now let's just give as many targets as possible to somebody, since we know Zoom knows all about us. Well done. Well done, Barry.
I am going to counter you.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm going to do this, but... let me say from the outset, I'm not going to say that I loved that plot point of the episode, but it didn't bother me the way it did you. Here's the thing. First of all, please don't compare it to the Iris thing. That was a season-long nightmare. That was just horrible. So let's not even get in. Patty went on a date with him. He's known her for 5 seconds, so I don't think all of a sudden she should therefore know the identity. So I'm not going to get into that
situation. The only reason I say that is due to the whole that Joe is like, no, it's handled. Don't worry about it.
Well, Joe needs to come up with a better cover story, but the problem with that situation is if he starts to get into it, it becomes really hard to tell that story and not reveal certain things. You know, you could, but it just becomes trickier and trickier. So better just to not have to worry about, you know, a whole elaborate web of lies and just keep her out of it entirely. I don't know if how long that's going to last, but I'm not going to compare it to the Iris thing just yet. She just hasn't been there long enough. The Linda Park thing, I guess the way we read it was, it was kind of a motivating factor to get her to do what they wanted her to do. The whole her life in jeopardy or that thing with Zoom really doesn't play a factor here because of who she is, she's already in danger anyway. She's a doppelganger for Dr. Light. So her name is on a short list of for death to begin with. So it's not really going to matter at this point. So it does become funny when it seems like everybody knows his identity, but I think I said somewhere online, the creators or the people that are behind both Arrow and Flash tend to really hate the whole secret identity thing. Which is probably why they tend to reveal it to everybody.
Yeah.
Which is why the Iris thing was even stupider last year. I mean, the whole secret identity thing, I mean, that's one of those very worn out cliches with comic books and TV shows and movies for Christ, a century, it feels like at this point. That was weird. But, you know, it doesn't mean it wasn't silly to tell Linda Park, but I got why they did it. And it was like, all right, whatever. Maybe part of me was hoping that meant they were going to kill her off, but that hasn't happened. I think that was one of Dan's predictions in a previous podcast, as a matter of fact. But I don't know. It was silly, but it didn't bother me that much because I at least saw the point of it. You know, could they have done things a bit more with a bit more finesse? Yeah, but sometimes they do drop the ball when it comes to things like that.
I don't know. I kind of have to agree with Jason. Him telling her just annoyed the heck out of me. Because of all the people who, you know, might need to know.
I don't think that.
she doesn't necessarily have to know his identity.
You just pulled a CJ.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I was just going to let it go. Wasn't going to say a word.
Vicky now has my favorite moments of the podcast so far. Thank you, Vicky. It was Kay.
That was Kay's point.
She agreed and I accepted. That's all I needed.
It couldn't be Jason if he's right. No.
Yeah, it's like
a bit of a always wrong.
He took my point though.
Oh man. Okay, is it my turn?
The revenge. It's time for your revenge.
I don't have any revenge. It's best served cold. You won't see it coming. Anyway, Wells' motivation is brought to light by Sisko in an invasive use of his own powers. I thought that whole sequence was kind of weird, how Sisko was kept trying to grab him and hug him and crap like that. But anyway, turns out that Zoom has Harry's daughter and is keeping her hostage, as we saw at the end of last episode. I have to say that Kavanaugh's acting continues to be the best out of everyone on the show. And it's not just the way he delivers his lines or what he's saying. It's also the little things like his facial expressions when he's not being talked to, but he's still reacting to what everyone else is saying around him. Good example of that is during the montage episode. He just kind of looks up in the sky when they said, who designed this this whole thing? So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Wells or Harry.
Yeah, that I agree that go trying to like touch Harry thing. That was just awful. I mean, it was just really, really, really bad. But there wasn't much.
It was just awkward. Because this, you know, they're. It was just weird. I don't know.
To be fair, is he known for his subtlety? Is that one of Sisko's greatest qualities? I was going to say
he's not very subtle.
he's going to be bumbling.
Yeah, he's also doing something he's never actually done before. You know, as far as trying to touch a person and find. So, I mean, I agree with Dan to a certain extent because it was really awkward and goofy. But I felt this was also them trying to do something with a lighter way of doing it, especially since he wasn't going to find. So that's what kind of made it comical, because Sisko does provide a lot of the comic relief on the show. So it was one of those. There were things I didn't like about it because something was somewhat implausible about it. Because how does he not know this is going to come off weird or stupid? You know, like wanting to pat him on the back, really. You called him a dick to his face, you know, just the other day. You're not really going to be all chummy with him now.
Why not just go ahead and give him a hug while you're at it?
Yeah. but the flip of it is, but did I not enjoy it? I did enjoy it because it was awkward and weird, but I enjoyed seeing Tom Cavanaugh in a scene that was awkward and weird. We haven't seen him in a weird scene like that. I also liked the fact that he didn't want to be touched. Someone who also has never been a big fan of being touched by most people, I kind of related to his character there. So it was kind of like I was like, I'm on the fence with that. I wouldn't call it a bad moment, but I wouldn't call it a good moment either. It's kind of an moment for me.
I think my biggest problem with it is like the scene when Sisko was like, I don't know, dumping like rubber cement or something all over like whatever he was doing. And like, it was so obvious what he was doing, but like Wells had like absolutely no clue that he was doing that, even though like 5 seconds before that, he's like, yo, bitch, get off me. So
yeah,
it just made it seem like, you know, it kind of dumbed down Harrison like just briefly. And
I agree. But, he should have known what he was trying to do at that point. It seemed pretty obvious.
And it perhaps had the hokiest part of dialogue tonight where he kept asking Sisko, did you vibe me? Did you try and vibe me? And Sisko's like, no, I'm not trying to vibe you, man.
Wow, I have that down as my favorite piece of... No, anyway. I was like, did Hemingway write this? Shakespeare? Did it
Steinbeck.
Okay, so in one of the flashbacks to Earth 2 when Harrison Wells is still there, there was a new news broadcast saying that Robert Queen was revealed to be the Arrow in their version. So this gave me the theory that maybe Zoom is Henry Allen in Earth 2.
Hmm. Because, I've had that thought before.
Where have I heard that?
this time it was from me.
Yeah, that's yeah. I agree. I think that's almost in a weird way. It's almost like them laying the foundation for that being a possibility. Plus, I think Zoom's build looks more like Henry than a lot of people think it's going to be Barry, Earth 2 Barry. But I'm like, unless they see Jai Barry's face on a much bigger body, which they could do. But I don't see why a parallel version of Barry would be taller.
Right.
That doesn't really make sense to me. But I agree. If Zoom is revealed to be anybody, and I know me and Cade have been talking about maybe he's just going to be a pure personification of evil and he doesn't have an identity. But I could see the show probably building up to it being Henry. So I agree. I think Henry is the most likely suspect right now.
Yeah, all the kind of obvious suspects, it seems like Henry would be the most likely.
It would make the most sense for Henry being written out of the show.
Yeah.
And come back as being Zoom. Plus those eyes, man.
I'm pulling this out of the blue here. You do know how badly I want to say it, but I'm not.
All right.
While it may be Henry Allen's body, I don't think there's anything left of what Henry Allen is in that body. I think whatever Zoom is, it's taken full control. There's no personification of the original person there. It is only Zoom. So if there's a reveal, there's going to be the moment where it looks like Henry, but there's no actual Henry Allen there anymore.
Well, the Earth 2 Henry could be like a complete asshole, though, too. I mean, you know, we don't really know anything about him.
That's Earth 3 Henry.
I still don't see Zoom as being a person, just this regular human with powers. And it seems like it's more than that. I'm hoping it's more than that. Like, this is a body he's inhabiting.
Yeah, he seems more to be like a monster. Like, you know, they keep saying like personification of evil rather than any kind of person.
He's Cade.
That's Cade's line.
Shh. Cade's the monster. I'm still holding out hope, though, because the obvious suspects, if he is revealed, you know, it's Henry, then it's Barry, and then you can say, oh, maybe. Some people still think somehow it's yet another version of Wells, you know. Or maybe it's Eddie Thawne after all. I think, again, this was said either online or in our last podcast, don't remember. I personally think the coolest or most shocking reveal would be Joe West, Earth 2 Joe West being the Earth 2 Flash. Zoom, rather, excuse me. But pretty sure that won't happen, though I do kind of want to see them side by side to see how their body types match up. Because maybe, you know, maybe Zoom wears Spanx or something, and so he's in better shape or something.
That makes sense.
Don't tell Jesse L. Martin I said that. So,
all right, I'm going to point out something that's maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a TV show. Would anybody like to guess what I'm about to say before I say it?
No,
I got nothing.
Okay, on Earth 2, when Harrison realizes that his daughter's been kidnapped and, like, calls her, and, like, there's a nudes broadcast with, like, a close-up on her fucking phone. That was, like, just really, 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 really dumb.
Hmm.
Like he's, like, learning from, like, a news broadcast of, like, oh, like, you know, it's, like, a picture of, like, him calling her, like, on her phone, like, huge.
It's dumb, but it's a shorthand. I agree with you there. It is dumb, but they just use it as a narrative shorthand.
It was strange that they would have TV cameras trained on a random phone in rubble that happened to be hers. So that was something that it occurred to me, and I was like, I like so much about the fact we're seeing Earth 2 in him, I'm going to just ignore the oddness of this. But you bring it up reminded me of seeing, like, on the TV, like, seeing his face, which also means that everyone watching the news also should know that. So I don't. And I was like,
Dad, he's calling.
I mean, I love the show. I mean, I think we all like or love it to whatever extent. But again, that is sometimes the show could they handle some things really well. But sometimes, and maybe it's the shorthand thing that you were talking about, Jason, or maybe just certain moments that, you know, we know or they're just trying to write out a character for whatever reason, they don't handle quite as well as I think they should. And it kind of always takes the show a step back. I mean, the Henry Allen departure thing, I think, is one of the biggest Jesus Christ of the season. Like, really? That's how you handle that? This, I got to agree with Dan. I was like, you know what? I would have rather him not know for sure, but just there just be no answer. And he just has the realization that, you know, it must be her or something else. That, yeah, you know what? The more I think about it, the stupider it is. Yeah, you're absolutely right then. That was Gotham stupid.
I want to do the whole, like, I'll defend it, but guys, it's Earth 2. It's different. It's so dumb. I can't even pull that maneuver at this situation. It's like there's no defense for what that was.
Jason, were you confused when you saw a call window pulling up on a phone screen that said "Dad," but that wasn't a picture of me?
I thought of you. I thought of you. It's like, oh, Dan's calling.
Not worry.
Inside jokes.
just to bring it back, just for a second, who here would like to see Arrow-style flashbacks all year long of Earth 2?
Yes.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
That's a flashback I can get behind.
I'm going to say no. I'd like flashbacks of Earth 2, but not Arrow-style flashbacks, because those are terrible. Well,
oh, you know what he means.
I did, but I wanted to make it sound semantics. Wrong.
I'm gonna go you one better. And I'm gonna jump into the next show. You know what they ought to do on Arrow? Could they just please give us Earth 2 flashbacks of Robert Queen as Arrow instead of what they're doing on the show? Because
I'd watch that.
It would be because Jamie Sheridan played his dad on the show. I'd love to see Jamie Sheridan as like an older Arrow on Earth 2. It'd probably be more interesting. I mean, it would definitely be better than the crappy flashbacks we get on Arrow, you know, week after week. But anyway, just wanted to see.
This week's was no better, but that's later.
Yeah. Oh, is it my turn? You know, it's funny. I actually didn't make a list of anything. what else did I like in this that wasn't sleazy? Every note I took had some sort of sleazy reference to it, so I want to keep things pure for our little podcast here. Here we go. Okay, I'll just go with this. Speaking of things I thought were a little dumb or a little odd, and I don't know why I'm dumping on an episode that I really like so much, or we all seem to be, but who cares? So when Barry, or the Flash, I guess, is talking to Dr. Light in their little Guantanamo Bay thing, which I still don't get how they get away with that, by the way. I still am at a loss in how they get away with this whole thing there. This whole back and forth where she's trying to get him just, you know, why don't you just let me go so I can, you know, go off and hide somewhere, whatever. And he's saying no, because he'll always come after you, whatever. Blah, blah. It's like, hey, here's a thing you might want to bring up. There's also the fact you murdered somebody. So whatever is going to happen, we're not just going to let you go because, you know, you're a murderer. Apparently, we are licensed by the Central City prison system to hold criminals here. But you're a murderer. And so, no, we're not just going to let you go. And I was getting annoyed that they weren't making any reference to what she had done. It just seemed, yeah, you're I don't care if you're normally not a killer, now you are, and now it's kind of a bad thing. And I'm also wondering how the police and the family of that man feel about their killer. Is, you know, they, for all they know, she's either at large, or I found that plotting aspect kind of troubling. It bothered me. The more I thought about it, the more it bothered me, and so I tried not to think about it.
It seemed really needless. She just got on with the episode. I guess they just had to show her that she's there in the pipeline.
Right.
Did she escape by just like stripping down like completely naked and then just like walking out by and like bending the light or something? Because like, is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
She's just wandering around Central.
The naked supervillain.
I really enjoyed the thought that naked Dr. Light is walking around Central City.
Well, it would have been funny if they'd have shown her, like, you know, like stealing somebody's clothes off a clothesline or something after that, just to be.
That's actually one of the reasons I laughed so hard during the conversation with Patty and Joe, because they probably used the word transparent like 6 or 7 times in
a million of that times. Conversation.
Yeah.
Forever.
6 or 7 million times.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those things about, and this is a bad or good habit of mine as a writer. When I'm writing a piece, like it's like, you know, scene, like multiple scenes, I'm very aware when words or phrases are used too much, where it just sticks out. Like, I'm watching this episode, and I noticed the phrase, you know, assigning blame got used a few times. And I don't know why that bothered me, but it's the writer. I'm like, why? Everyone's just randomly using the phrase assigning blame. Will says assign blame. Joe says assign blame. Stop saying assign blame. It just bothered me. But
not only that, but Patty tips off how Dr. Light's escaping, like, in the scene right before that. You know, she's going to make everything invisible.
Well,
you make yourself invisible and leave.
Okay, let's be clear, because someone brought that up online. I actually went back and watched that scene tonight. She's giving theories of possible abilities that could happen from these light powers. She doesn't specifically say that she did that. She's just saying, you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, light refraction, you know, could lead to invisibility. She's not actually saying for sure that she could be invisible, so it's not quite what she said. Yeah, so I don't want to give Patty too much credit, although I did like her pants tonight, so there was that. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, all right, so I got both sleazy things out of the way. There we go. She was wearing nice pants. I noticed.
She was. No, not arguing with you. They were nice. She's a snappy dresser.
They fit her very nicely.
You can see why Barry likes her. That her entertaining sense of humor.
Oh, I'm starting to realize why he likes her too. Yeah.
So speaking of entertaining, I want to say the Linda Park Dr. Light flash fight was very funny.
Hilarious.
That was at first you're like, oh, this is cringe, and then you realize, okay, this is getting good. These two, like, all right, don't, no, what are you doing? I thought we weren't gonna do that part, and just those two back and forth. That was very entertaining. That's probably the most entertaining interaction those two characters have ever had on the show. So it was a small little thing in the episode that I found was like, it was a nice little touch watching them do what they did. And even Cisco's line, I'm going to write the script next time because this is terrible.
Yes, that was a funny line. I remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Now, do you guys think that Zoom didn't show up because he knew it was like a sting?
Yeah, because it was awful. If he was watching, he could tell.
Obvious. He seems the kind of guy who's smarter than that to not be fooled by that little charade.
Yeah.
That was middle school level theater right there.
Did I imagine this? There was that point where Barry's been laying there for like an hour or so, and he's shifting on. Did someone make Cisco say he thought he was had to scratch his ass, or was that just my imagination? Did I not hear that?
I don't think that happened.
I don't recall that. No.
I must have imagined. Okay, I imagine.
No, Linda just shouted at him, or you know, hissed at him to stop fidgeting.
Okay, I thought he said, yeah. Someone said, well, he had to scratch his ass. Okay. Sorry.
My gosh, that was hilarious.
It would have been a great moment.
Yeah. All right, since Cade mentioned the fake fight, I'm going to go with the training sequence that preceded that by like 20 minutes. And that was, I thought that was great and goofy at the same time. That folds into what I said earlier about Harrison Wells and his facial expressions. Sisko had some great facial expressions in that too, and some good lines. I can't really remember what he said, but it was just the whole thing that was great. I mean, it's a lot like what if you or I or any one of us was handed a pair of gauntlets and just like, here you go, go shoot some stuff. I feel like that's how I would have reacted.
I particularly love the life-size blow-ups of everybody. They went to that much trouble.
Cisco like, selfies.
The selfie, that's right. It was so stupid, I thought. I loved it.
And the model poses, it was awesome.
I actually like how Cisco's had him with the camera. So it's like him taking a picture of taking the pictures.
Exactly.
It was a little nice touch on his.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Another small moment that I thought was pretty important was when Barry was telling Joe how in the video Wells was saying, oh, you know, that he really won. Because, you know, he doesn't want him to be happy. But, you know, Joe pointed out that it was just another way of Wells trying to mess with Barry and to try and get him one last time.
Yeah. I think one of the strong parts of almost every episode tends to be the Joe-Barry moments that even after... gosh, 20 something, almost 30 episodes. I don't seem to tire of them. I like the father son relationship between them. It still feels genuine and fresh every time they have these interactions.
Yeah, that's always definitely like a highlight of every episode for me.
Should I say something, or is that someone else have something they wanted to point out?
I believe it's Dan's turn.
Yeah, I guess I can say something. But I definitely enjoyed Barry, you know, pointing out, like, you know, how he's still kind of traumatized by having to let his mom die. I mean, I like that they didn't forget about that, and, you know, didn't have him forget about that.
Yeah, I do enjoy them referencing things from previous episodes, especially something as huge as that, or, like, the fact that they... meant referencing like that the arrow shot the reverse flash with a dart, and that's part of how they come up with the plan for Zoom. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that Barry wasn't really the one who really technically caught the reverse flash, you know, at least in that earlier episode.
I think that they managed to strike a good balance with, you know, just only occasionally, you know, bringing up how, you know, his mom is still dead and all of that. But they don't, you know, hammer it, you know, again and again, you know, to make it some kind of, you know, oh, just constant angst for him. You know, like is, you know, a lot of shows do. It, like, it's always kind of in the background, but he... is, you know, focused on being a superhero, you know, trying to save the city and all that.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that it is, again, one of the most superhero cliches that the loss of a parent is some sort of major motivating factor and what fuels them. You know, it's the Batman scenario, so to speak, or the uncle or the Spider-Man, the Uncle Ben scenario, or God knows how many other ones. But I like that, although he was trying to save her, but that's not why he's continuing. That's not really connected to why he's continuing to be the Flash. And I like that as well. It's a good point. I'll just point out something really minor, and it kind of dovetails to, I think, what Jason was talking about earlier, how much we enjoy. I think we enjoy Harrison Wells 2.0 in a different way, but almost as much as the previous one. I like little things like the fact that he's the only one who calls Cisco by his last name, which kind of just shows his kind of his disdain for him, because you never hear anyone else calling him Ramon other than Wells, because, you know, Cisco's kind of a nice bouncy name, but he just calls him Ramon all the time. So little things like that I kind of enjoy.
And also how they always refer to this Harrison Wells as Harry.
To distinguish.
A nice distinction. Very nice distinction.
That was probably one other thing, since that was such a minor thing, I wanted to say, but maybe I kept thinking Cade was going to say it. So, Cade, do you want to speak next? And I'm waiting for you to say it. So I'm gonna assume you're going to say it next. And I'm going to shut up and let you talk. Let's see if I'm right or wrong. Don't disappoint me, Cade.
No pressure.
Damn it.
None at all.
I'm just blank now because I'm like, what did Scott want me to say?
Don't fucking fail us, Cade.
All right, I'll give you a clue.
You have failed this podcast.
Think about stuff on Earth 2.
Oh, I did want to talk about this.
There we go.
The buildup to Jesse Quick is... there's so many... It was like, all right, so we get to see her. But no, there were so many blatant, like, Jesse Quick references. It's like, if you didn't pick it up last week, they hammered you over the head with it this week. And you know what? I didn't hate it. I loved every bit of it. I loved getting to see some of her now, see her personality come through. So if whatever happens, when she comes around, she's not just going to be – we'll be like, oh, cool, I like her. I've liked seeing her. I like how she is. And you really do – it was good to see the Wells, like, not just his daughter, but you know how she is with him. And realize, even if she's not as happy with him at that moment, he's still going to do everything to get her. But just seeing her, you're like, I want her to be rescued so badly now because I want Jesse Quick on the show. I want her there. I want to see what they're going to do with her. And the fact she's called Jesse Quick, they didn't have – there was no, like, coding or, like, weird – like, it's a ref – it's a fact they called her that. And that was a fun thing for me. I was going to talk about this, Scott. You were right.
I knew you would. I was waiting.
All they said was, oh, Jesse, you're so quick.
Yeah, but it was enough.
Harrison says.
He says, no, he says two different things. And actually, that's my only issue with the scene. First, he says, that's my Jess, always so quick. I could have done without that line. Because at the end of the scene, when she walks out, he actually says, you're my joy, Jesse Quick.
He recalls her Jesse Quick, yeah, at the end. Yeah. The first one was a little bit, but the second one, he actually straight up called her Jesse Quick.
I think they should have just kept the second one and not done the first one.
I will agree. The second one was the better one to go with because that was not like a coy. That was like straight up, that's her. That's what he calls her. That is her name in some way. Yeah, I got super excited about that one. I'll admit it. Anytime the show gives me a reference to another speedster or the fact there might possibly be another speedster, I get excited.
Of course, she'll probably never be a speedster. But we'll see.
Don't say that. Don't ruin it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Whose turn is it?
I believe it's my turn. Yours.
It's yours?
You.
All right. I'm going to talk about something I really hate. It's just going to be brief.
Oh, boy.
But I hate the Old Navy ads with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. if I have to see that commercial with her dressed up as a cop one more time.
So fucking weird.
This is what you get for watching it in real time.
Jason's random rant of the week, everybody.
I mean, come on. You're on Seinfeld. You're on Veep. You don't have to do these commercials. It's awful. It's below her. Anyway, that's what I have to say.
I have to agree. She's possibly one of the funniest, if not the funniest woman on television. And all those Old Navy commercials are awful. I don't I hope she was paid a lot of money. That's all I'll say. I just hope she was paid a ton of money because they're awful. You're right.
Dan.
I would rather watch the Scratch. Colonel Sanders commercials.
Dan, Scratch Old Navy off as a potential sponsor. Not going to happen.
That's fine. I wouldn't accept money from a company that just manufactures just shitty, ugly, stupid clothing. So
they are awful jackets in that commercial. Terrible looking. I would not wear those things. I wonder why they cost so little.
All right, back on track. I actually like some Old Navy stuff. Come on.
Jason, do you have a real point now that you'd like to provide, or should we just go to Vicky at this point?
I had to say something bad, so that was my bad thing.
That was your bad thing. You couldn't find one thing in this episode that was bad. That's what you had to go for.
That's what I went for. Yep.
All right, then. Sure.
I had to watch the same fucking Viagra ad 5 times tonight while watching Mr. Robot season finale on the USA app. So I'm a little traumatized by advertising, too. So.
Yeah. I always love how the idea of people lying next to each other in matching bathtubs somehow means they're going to have sex.
Not just in matching bathtubs. Matching bathtubs on a cliff overlooking the ocean.
Holding hands.
And what parallel universe does that mean? Oh, sex is going to happen. That's during these bathtubs.
Oh, it's an Earth 2 thing. That's what it is. Oh, got it.
Only if one climbs into the other's bathtub, it's going to happen.
It's more like Earth 2 stupid. You know, just really.
All right, Vicky, your turn.
Do you have anything else, Vicky?
Nope. All of my points have been either made or taken, so.
All right, I got a whole bunch of stuff, kind of. I really liked when Barry caught Dr. Light with his, or I guess it wasn't Dr. Light, but Linda with his, like, you know, flapping wing arm things. I thought that was, you know, cool to see again. It was neat to see, like, he was just like this, you know, making a, like a catching thing, I don't know.
That was a cool moment, because I actually did briefly think they were going to kill Linda Park in that moment. So that was a nice save there. I agree. Forgot about that.
Oh, Barry's a good guy. He wouldn't let that happen.
But if he had killed her, then it would have made telling her the secret identity okay.
Ah, that's true. Yeah, I wouldn't have had much issue with it.
We have rules we need to follow here. If you find out, you gotta die. That's just how it should work.
I liked her, and I also like Linda's like, holy crap, I made out with the Flash line.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was really well delivered and just seemed like, you know, completely authentic. So, and it was funny.
She fangirled.
Yeah, that was pretty excellent. You're right. I forgot about that.
I liked earlier in the episode. I liked their staff meeting, as I think somebody called it. Just it seemed like everybody was really fitting their roles well. I mean, it just felt like a really nice, natural scene where, you know, even though their plan ended up being complete horseshit, it just seemed like everybody really had their act together in that scene. The characters.
If that's the scene I think you're talking about, I really especially like Caitlin in that scene.
Yeah.
She was trying to be the voice of reason herself, saying you shouldn't trust her. And then she tried to get Joe to be like the voice of reason. He was like, I'm just going to go along with this. I don't care.
Yeah. And then I guess just one more thing. I really liked Patty the whole episode again. And, you know, I'm not bothering to check her out because I just don't fucking give a shit. But I like the character. I mean, she's just smart and funny and cool. So
she's a new Felicity.
Oh dear.
Well, considering I think she's going to get killed, I hope she's not the new Felicity. So.
Well, I don't mind being the one who checks her out, so I'll ignore that and move on. All right, so my impression is that we all pretty much like this one quite a bit. I personally thought it was a very good episode, and then that last 10 minutes or so kind of upped it to like great. It kind of reminded me a little bit of when we watched Out of Time.
Out of Time, yeah.
Out of Time, where it was Yeah, it was a fairly good episode, and then the final 10 minutes made it like, okay, that was amazing. So I thought that this, I liked the fact that this episode did the same kind, had the same kind of effect. And then ending with him apparently being, should we say he's paralyzed because he doesn't feel his legs? Or
I would say he is.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's going to last like 5 minutes, but.
Yeah, or one episode.
Yeah. So just for me, I mean, this for me was probably one of the best, if not the best episode of the season. I feel like you're going to keep saying that over and over. So it's a definite A for me because I thought the Zoom stuff was so well done. It made me overlook any of the little minor issues I might have had earlier in the episode. Even the dumb things, you know, like Cisco trying to touch Harry. I keep thinking about that now.
For me, A as well. Just because I've been excited for the Zoom thing, because I seem to gravitate towards his villains. Seeing Zoom in this and getting more Zoom than I actually expected. Because as the episode got towards the end, I'm like, are they just going to have him show up at the very end, like, and we're going to brief glimpse? No, they paid it off with a good 10 minutes of Zoom just wrecking and showing what a powerful creature he is. And the whole Jesse Quick thing, getting some Jesse Quick in here. So we're actually building her character through flashbacks, which are nice. So when we do get to, there's some interaction with her, we'll have some more, we'll see her more. She just won't be, hey, this girl that Harrison wanted to save. We'll know her and know more about her, hopefully, by that point. Also, the nice little interesting thing of Barry in a wheelchair next week is very much a Harrison Wells flashback. I thought that was a nice little touch right there, saying that. So that I'm waiting for that next week to see how that plays out.
Oh, really quick before Jason speaks, did you notice that at least one or two occasions in the episode, and they might have done some previous episodes, they like having Harry in a chair with wheels, and he kind of like rolls into the frame a couple times, kind of.
Yep.
I mean, I got a kick out of that.
They do that. That was interesting.
Yep. All right, this episode gets an A from me as well. Zoom gets a Gwen Stacy moment by throwing Linda Park off the roof of a building. Barry gets to use his tornado arms again. I know Scott likes that. One interesting thing is that Zoom says at the end is, you two aren't fast enough. Now, I just had a question if he is referring to Jay, or are there more species that he's defeated that we just don't know about yet? But anyway, as a whole, love the episode. I think last episode was better, but this was really close too, so thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm going to obviously agree with you guys and say this is an A-worthy episode for me. I really enjoy it. Like I said earlier, Zoom was just terrifying, and I really enjoyed that bit. And I didn't mention this earlier, but I definitely thought like the female characters were not annoying. aside from my whole issue with, you know, Barry telling Linda, but I felt like, you know, Caitlin was on point. She was the voice of reason, shouting, you know, why are you guys making these stupid decisions? And so, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Dan doesn't do letter grades.
Nope. Well, that's right. It's probably my favorite of the season so far.
And before we move on, and I won't say too much about it, but I didn't know what was coming next week until I saw that ad. I did not know anything in advance. I hadn't read anything, hadn't seen anything. If anyone here doesn't know, and I don't want to spoil them, so I won't say what it is. If we think maybe we shouldn't say it, I don't know, but I'll say I am really, 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 really looking forward to next week's episode.
Me too. It's not Mansoor Mala.
Shut up.
Yeah, I think that.
Well done.
Cobalt blue, huh, Jason? Cobalt blue. That's all you did just now.
Absolutely.
Such a dork. Monsieur Mala. All right. Did you just before we move on and bid adieu and whatever? Did you guys all see the ad for next week's episode? I know you guys too did.
Okay, I did.
I got so excited.
I don't watch previews, so.
Okay. All right.
But I'll be leaving soon, so you guys can discuss it at your leisure after I depart.
Okay. Well, that would probably be right about now then. We're about to talk about. We can bring it up again after, but we're about to get into tonight's Arrow episode. I know at least one person here didn't watch it, so we might be a bit brief on this one, comparatively speaking. So should I start, or Dan, did you want to bid adieu at this point? It's up to you.
Yeah, I'm going to roll out. So I enjoyed the episode Arrow. I just don't really feel like I have much to add to it, and it's getting late, so... I guess have a good night, everybody. And make sure, Jason, if you want to step up and insult Oliver at any point, please do.
Okay, I will.
Good boy. You're a good son.
Night, Dan.
Good night, good Dan. He left a little thump.
You know, I listen to other podcasts, and I marvel at their professionalism. And I listen to ours and I cringe. Okay, so Arrow, Lost Souls. I will say, like I was saying earlier, for me this had one of the funniest moments I've ever seen on an Arrow episode, and for that to me was maybe one of my favorite parts of the episode. There's a lot of little things I really loved in this episode, which I was very surprised by. But Arrow and Felicity having their little argument over their intercoms or whatever you call it, the earpieces, and everyone else realizing that everyone else is listening to them, and the way they're all reacting to listening to these two go at each other, and Ollie basically being, you know, kind of like verbally bitch slapped by Felicity the whole time. That was really funny. I thought that was that to me might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen on this show. So the fact that it actually featured everybody involved as well, to me that was one of my favorite things about the episode.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed that piece too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well. I had seen that in the comic preview for the episode. it was just hilarious to, you know, watch it play out during the actual episode. I love that Felicity gave him the new cover code name, Chatty Cathy.
Chatty Cathy, and then she kept calling him that. I love that. Yeah. Although, since it's the very same scene, I also want to point out. Isn't what they're all doing, aren't all these supposed heroes, aren't they technically criminals? Because aren't they going to steal some technology from Corin Industries, or did they misunderstand
that? Oh, yes, they are.
This is one of my points.
All right, take it. I'm sorry. Well, we got to wrap it, so who cares? Go on.
I'm saying Felicity's upgraded from embezzling into espionage. Into corporate espionage, because that's basically what they're doing. They're stealing someone's patent to use for their own gain.
Yeah, it was a little odd just how casual they were about it. Like, oh yeah, we're just gonna all go suit up and break into this company and steal their stuff.
It's a private company. It's got nothing else. You know, they invented this. They patented it.
Yeah.
Well,
not just any company either.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Even though I already said
Cord Industries. And I love the fact that it played so prominent in this show, this episode of the show. Okay. And it holds out hope that one day we may get to see Ted Kord.
And for the non-comic book people who do listen to this podcast, Ted Kord was the Blue Beetle, which is one of Jason and Cade's favorite comic book characters. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. So
It deserves one more yada.
I know. It's just, it seems like every time Court Industries is mentioned, we have to go through that. No, which is fine. It's fine. I mean, I thought it was silly that they were doing this cape, but then again, I mean, I guess it's for the greater good. Yeah, they're stealing something, but it's in order to save someone. So that, I guess, in that aspect of it, that's actually not that uncommon to see a hero do something which would be technically illegal, but they're doing it, you know, for a much bigger purpose. Plus, every other person who's on this little squad here has murdered at least one person. So the fact they're just trying to steal something really isn't that big a deal for these guys. So, Vicky, what was your first thing you wanted to highlight here?
Let's see. I just wanted to... Another thing that really made me laugh were Damien Dark's size puns. One of the really good ones was, you know, don't make any empty threats. It's small.
Absolutely. I thought one of the coolest moments of the episode just visually was just seeing Damien Dark looming over Ray under the little, little plexiglass or polymer thing that he had him trapped under. I mean, I knew that was coming, but it was still cool. And that's how, you know, they pulled something off well. You know it's coming. It's still cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's another classic comic book type scene you'll see.
Oh, very man on so.
Tiny man on a desk while a large man is looming overhead.
Looming over. Oh, and speaking of pointing out something which is comic booky, or at least making fun of something which is a traditional comic booky thing, and they showed this. I don't know if it was in the season 4 sizzle reel or one of the pre-season ads, whatever. So again, knew it was eventually coming, but still enjoyed seeing it in the episode when Curtis Holt meets Oliver Queen for the first time, and he just starts putting his hand over his eyes to try to see what Ollie's jawline looks like. It's like, because you came back to town right around the same time Green Arrow showed up, but now jawline's different. And that moment was like, wait, maybe you're not like the smartest man in the world because his jawline isn't different. But it was still pretty funny because it goes to it's funny how all these different versions of masks in both DC and Marvel, unless your face is fully covered, I don't understand how people don't recognize people. I don't mean just little Harlequin masks. Batman should be recognized by most people because half his face is still showing. People shouldn't recognize.
Right. It was nice to see Curtis Holt get involved in the action this episode. I forget what his line was, but I think he was like, he said he needed to get out of the office more, but this was not what he had in mind. You could tell that they're setting them up for something else later on. Yes. Down the line.
Someone fall down the stairs?
Oh, no, my headphones fell off.
It's like someone just biffed you off the head. The headphones went off. Oh, no, did you just, just tumble down the stairs?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I got one more. I got another point here, and there's... I'd written this down earlier that there was one too many canaries on the show, and I said that Laurel's going to be at the one to go because Sarah's a rage beast like Thea, but unfortunately, Sarah decided to take the John Wesley ship, Jay Garrick exit out at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it's a shame, but we know where she's going, but, you know, it's a shame she had to go.
Yeah, we lost the wrong Lance there.
I was hoping we'd get maybe another episode or two with her on the show, but yeah, they did a quick exit.
Right. I mean, obviously it's because, well, she has to be filming the episodes obviously. Of the other show. Yeah. But seeing them both together, you know, not only made me remind me how much I prefer her, but also remind me how much I don't like either of their wigs or their masks. I don't know why they can't get something so simple so wrong on this show. And they have totally different types of masks, and they both suck. I don't like them. I don't. I don't even.
Side,
Go on.
They had a side by side shot too, just to illustrate your point. And they look both look terrible.
Yeah, I'm of the belief, and I'm betting you and even Silent Kate would agree that I prefer my Black Canary not have a mask.
You know? No mask. She doesn't need one.
Yeah, she had a mask for 5 minutes in the 40s, and since then, pretty much has not had a mask, unless they've given her one in the last couple of years. And if they have, they're stupid. But you know, for a good 70 odd years, no mask, or 60 years, whatever the hell, whatever it works out to. So,
yeah,
I prefer no mask. Okay. Since I know we like finding little comic booky referencey things, a couple things that caught my ear I enjoyed hearing, and this probably was mentioned in the first episode, and I don't remember if we mentioned it on the podcast either. I didn't realize that the place where Ollie and Felicity went when they went on their little extended vacations, life in the suburbs, was Ivytown.
Ivytown, that's right.
And for the folks listening who probably don't know this, Ivytown, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the Adams hometown from, like, you know, the Silver Age, Bronze Age era. So mentioning yet another DC character's ridiculous sounding city name.
Really, that's cool.
It's like, yep. Really, a town named after Ivy. I was like, which is dumber, Starling City or Ivytown? And one last, because I put them side by side, and you tell me if this is a little winky joke or not. Her saying that towards the end, when she talks about after she checked Ray's physical stats after a little medical checkup there, she mentioned him having an iron deficiency, and I kept wondering, are they making a little reference or joke about how we all have been making fun of him looking like Iron Man this whole time? Because I couldn't really think of any other reason you'd mention him having an iron deficiency. So
I did feel that was like a pretty pointed comment.
Yeah, I hadn't put that together, but no, that's pretty funny. Although I was wondering how did Ray eat in that little cube, but and other things, but you know, I guess we're not supposed to think about that kind of thing.
Well, I wish they had just like this little weird crumb of food that would have been there, which probably would have lasted him like for years, not years, but for weeks or whatever. And then you start wondering, what about the bathroom situation?
Could have had like a little hamster water bottle in there, where you could just hit it and get a drop of water.
Is he using that suit for something else?
That's funny.
Did it need a good cleaning afterwards?
Well, he put it right on, so evidently not.
Well, maybe Felicity's not the only one who needed to take a shower after all. How many times was Ollie going to tell her, you need to take a shower, you need to take a shower? It's like, all right, just how bad does Felicity smell since you keep telling her she needs to take a shower? I'm just saying.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes is Sarah calling her mom, telling her that she's alive again.
Yeah, they're like, how did it go better than the last time? She thought it wasn't dead.
and by the way, as far as that's concerned, I don't know if that's a conversation moment that would really should happen over the phone. that's just my personal feeling, but you know, maybe Quentin called her first, like, okay, there's someone I want to put on, you know, are you sitting? Might get a little bit of deja vu here.
You know, hitch a ride from the Flash or something.
Oh, yeah, who knew that her mom was living in Central City?
I didn't know that. I thought she was off with Doctor Who or something. I don't know.
For some reason, I thought it was like Coast City or something, but I don't know. Like, she was living there in an earlier episode, but I don't know.
Right. They made a reference to someone else going to Coast City. Is it Sarah? Is she going to Coast City? Because they referenced Coast City in the episode, but I don't remember why it was referenced. Now I'm drawing a blank. I took very few notes here. I'm sorry.
I don't remember either.
Then it's not important. You know what's more important? What's important is another thing I discovered in this episode, that Diggle is a Tennessee whiskey man. You go.
Yes.
Screw that vodka crap. Whiskey. Tennessee whiskey. Nice. And I'm going to imagine it's actually good whiskey, not like, you know, Jack Daniels. But
hey. Like,
it's like the Domino's pizza of whiskey.
So. Oh man. Whose turn is it now? Is it Vicky's turn?
Yeah. The fight scenes in this episode were just spectacular. I mean, I know we say that a lot, but I think the ones this week really stood out to me. My favorite was with, Sarah, Laurel, and Thea, when they were kind of holding off all the henchmen guys while Felicity and Curtis were rescuing Ray. I think one of my favorite parts was when Sarah did kind of this almost Black Widow type move where she was basically sitting on top of one of the guys and to topple him over. I thought, that was very reminiscent of one of Black Widow's like signature moves.
Oh. And if you're going to get beaten up, that's the way to get beaten up, people. I'm just saying. Okay. I had to get it in there somewhere. Even though I don't remember having that weird cleft in her chin. I don't know why I don't remember that.
Also during that battle, they gave Diggle a nickname, a code name.
Yeah. Spartan.
Spartan.
Oh, Spartan. Oh, that's right, because the helmet, and that was one of the... Oh my God, I think I actually defended the stupid helmet at one point over the summer, saying, no, it's not like Magneto's helmet. It looks like a Trojan or Spartan helmet. Now they're actually saying that? Oh God.
Yeah, he's not the welder anymore.
No.
Side note about that, they had an interview with the guy who designed the helmet, and he said he designed it after the Spartans. So
well,
that's what they were going for.
I now want someone... I can watch it. It'll have to be me, but I don't want to have to do it. Someone needs to do some photoshopping and put Diggle and that stupid helmet head on top of either Will Ferrell or Sherry O'Terry, the Spartan cheerleaders outfits that they did back in the 90s. I want to see that happen now, because if he's going to be called a Spartan. I thought it was funny. Fuck all you people. Anyway, all right, I'm going to go in a direction I never thought I'd talk about on a show for a show like Arrow, but for some reason I kind of enjoyed it happening. The fact that they may actually be trying to hook up Quentin Lance and Donna, Felicity's mom, because I've been kind of waiting for those two to meet, because it seems kind of a no-brainer that they would hook those two up. So the meeting, it seemed to have that feeling like, oh, that this meeting could mean something more. And, now that I think I'm starting to like Quentin Lance all over again, because I really like the actor and he's kind of winning me back this season, maybe he deserves a little happiness since he's been kind of pretty much, riding the bench for the last few years here. So I thought that was kind of a nice moment on the episode.
Yeah, it was good. To build on that, my next comment was going to be about Felicity's mom being back in town and how it stressed out Felicity even more than the search for Ray, and how the fact that Oliver and Felicity's mom have been texting with each other and making plans behind Felicity's back. And didn't it seem like to you that Oliver was not as supportive about finding Ray as he should have been at first? It's more like, it's just like a side hobby for Felicity to find Ray, when it should have been like more important, because he actually fought next to him last year. And at the end, he's like, hey, Ray, what's up? Saved you. How about that?
Yeah, I know. I loved having Donna Smoke back. That was hilarious. She's always a hoot.
And with that, I thought a lot of the Ollie Felicity stuff was actually kind of, it went back and forth between being funny and even feeling a little bit genuine at certain points. I think what I really liked about it, actually, it kind of addressed something I mocked on the show. And I was happy to see it addressed. And I realized early on the way when Felicity was acting kind of, let's say, somewhat curt, or even let's just say curt. I don't want to use the B word here. I was thinking, oh, this is all because she's feeling really guilty that, you know, her ex, you know, blows up, and then, you know, 2 minutes later she's all lovey-dovey and leaving town with Ollie. I mean, it was cut in such a way, like, did she even stick around for the funeral? Does she even know? So I like that they addressed that, why she was acting the way she was, because she did feel guilty that he had been trying to reach her all that time, and she was, you know, she was off in Ivy Town, which apparently, you know, doesn't have strong Wi-Fi for Ray to reach her. But because he's tiny. But but I just like that they addressed something that had kind of bothered me a little bit. You know, as much as anything on Arrow actually bothers me. Yeah.
Yeah, it did make her motivation that much more real to me. It made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I want to build off of that, what you were saying, Scott, because that was another point I was going to make. It, like, at some points, the relationship stuff felt a little, I don't know, like, not cheesy, but just weird. But then, yeah, at other points, it felt very, genuine or whatever. But I think it was one of the best conversations between Oliver and Diggle when he was trying to figure out the tech stuff in the cave, and Diggle was, you know, they were talking about this, and it, you know, what was it? Oliver's like, why did she, you know, choose me and or whatever? And Diggle's saying, you know, just because something works on paper doesn't mean, you know, it's not, you know, going to work out in reality, referring to her and Ray. But he also said, you know, Felicity is one of the smartest, you know, most badass women on the planet. And, you know, I thought that was really nice of him to say. And I think it was a good, you know, just friend kind of moment between the two guys. It's definitely something we haven't seen so far this season, especially, you know, since what happened at the end of last season.
Yeah, that was a fantastic scene, fantastic conversation between the two of them. It was a real bonding moment and shows how they've gotten over their differences from earlier this year.
Yeah, and I think the show needs that to be the case. There's enough conflict and tension from external sources. I'm glad that these two, because I think one of the charms of the series from season one on, even in its low points, was the Ollie-Diggle relationship. And, you know, and the relationship of all three of them, obviously, but especially for me, between Ollie and Diggle, even with that stupid helmet. So I enjoyed that as well, absolutely.
Yeah, it's nice to see Team Dissension is over with for now.
Yes.
So trying to think of anything else that struck me about the episode. I feel like there's something really obvious I'm forgetting, and I don't know why I'm forgetting it.
Well, the only thing I have left is the flashbacks, and I just say fuck the flashbacks, but the only thing it does is that it built on Constantine from last week and shows that there's a mystical side of the island that we haven't seen yet.
I like one moment in the flashback because it builds on the mystical thing, and everything else I could have done without. Fucking flashback.
Right. Seeing the woman in the cave again, who cares?
Yeah.
The his partner picking a fight, making him pick a fight with one of the villagers, who cares? Move on. It's just a drag.
It's a waste of time. It's just, I mean, you know what? Since they're exploring this myth, they are starting to get into this mystical side of the island, and they're exploring that on the show itself. One hopes somehow this is going to tie to something else, but I'm not really sure what it can tie to, because they haven't established anything that Ollie would have any knowledge of Damien Dark before, like Ra's al Ghul had mentioned him and whatever. So I'm not seeing how it would tie to Dark, I don't know what they're going to do, but I would rather more screen time be spent on present day stuff and just get rid of the freaking flashback sword. Just
right. Unless they plan on stumbling onto the Swan Station, who cares?
All right. And I did not, I don't think I saw a trailer for the next episode because I think my DVR cut it off right at the Berlanti on the TV screen kind of thing. So I actually don't know what the next episode is going to cover, or if anything notable.
Oh, it was a big surprise.
Oh, God damn it. Well, I don't mind being told. You can tell.
Well, no, it was just hinting at something we thought was dead, the storyline that was dead, the whole thing with Andy Diggle.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Right.
Interesting. Oh, so it's going to get into like all the Hive stuff and whatever.
Right. Why didn't the guy shoot him first episode of the season? You remember that part?
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay, good. Did Ray make some joke about Hive in the episode, or am I?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
What
did yes, when they're telling Ray about Hive, he's like, oh, like Spectre? Cool.
Spectre.
Terrible.
And how timely is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Movie just came out. Well done, guys.
I thought there are a lot of good just one-liners in this episode. It was really on point.
Yeah. I mean, Arrow is never going to be one of the best written shows on TV. You know, it's just the dialogue wise, there's always going to be certain moments that are like, but I enjoyed this one a lot. I thought it was very, again, Arrow's not a show that makes me laugh very often. And I thought there were several genuine funny moments on this episode, kind of like they're almost like they're learning from the Flash a little bit, maybe. And I thought there were a lot of nice relationship developing moments, you know, whether it be Ollie and Felicity, although you're right, they had their cheesy moments as well in this episode. But it's going to be, I hope to think the good outweighed the bad with those moments. Ollie and Diggle and so on and so forth. And you know, I like seeing Sarah beat the crap out of some guy. I kept thinking, is he alive? Because she hit him so many times. I kept thinking he should be dead at this point. But you know, whatever. Wait, didn't she kill another guy?
She killed a guy in this episode. She killed a guy.
What is this, Gotham? Anyway, so I'm ready just to give my stamp of grade on it and move on, unless you guys have anything else you want to say about it.
Nope, I got nothing.
Nope, I think we've pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And being an old school classic Adam fan, I mean, I actually have an Adam t-shirt. I was very happy to see him in his small stage because I just realized, hey, this is the first time we've, Not including the ad for the fake ad for Legends of Tomorrow that we've actually seen, you know, Adam Small. So that was kind of nice. So for all the fun of it, I'm going to kind of give it a B+. That's where I'm feeling with this one. And you know what? I'm going to be nicer. Fuck it. B+.
It gets a B from me. I haven't really had time to digest this episode like I have Flash and Fargo from this week, but you know, I have to mention the other F show, Fargo. It's a great show. Everybody should watch it. Listen to the other podcast. It's fantastic. But it gets a solid B for me. I like Ray being small, being the Atom. It's definitely a fanboy type moment because I feel like, you know, we're one step closer to a Justice League. That's kind of silly, but you know, whatever. I said a lot of what I had to say earlier, so that's all I got.
I'm going to go ahead and give this A-. I enjoyed it a lot, so.
She's like, look at all the cosplay opportunities I have in this house. I could be this canary, I could be that canary.
Oh, no, no, no. If I'm going to be a canary from Arrow, it would be Sarah's canary. I don't really care for Laurel's version.
Yeah, if I ever see anyone, when I see people dressed up as canary at any Comic-Con kind of thing, I just prefer when they do classic comic book versions and not any of these. Then again, Black Canary herself over the last 20 odd years has had about 8,000 different looks. It doesn't even mean.
Go actually, to... I will be doing a comic version of Black Canary. Ooh. For C2E2 in March, I believe. So.
Which one?
Silver Age JSA.
Ooh. Black Canary.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing a group with some people, so.
Someone should give you a motorcycle. That'd be awesome. Come on, how cool would that be?
That would
be anyway.
Very cool.
Oh, by the way, I also kind of, because we got a lot more Damian Dark in this episode, I really enjoyed all the Damian Dark moments, not just him looking over Ray, but his actual little fight scene with Arrow, or Green Arrow. He's Green Arrow, right? Because it's one of the few times... This is one of the very few times we've seen Green Arrow in a fight situation where some form of magic is used against him, you know, where, you know, with the whole chain wrapping around him, around the throat and all that stuff. I mean, that's something we haven't really seen much before. I don't know if we've seen it at all. I can't, you know, that I know he stopped the arrows and the other time they met. I don't remember him doing it much more than that. So I thought that was also different. And also... kind of a middle finger to all the people like, oh, I don't like there being supernatural stuff on Arrow. I want to be real. Mm-hmm. There are people, I'm like, oh, shut up. You know, you went into a show that's based on a comic book, so screw you now that it's getting to be like a comic book. So anyway.
Not to mention the fact that Oliver countered with his own practical magic with illusion by getting away that way.
Yes.
That's right. It's funny, Dan's not here, but I swear I keep hearing his cat. It's like it's in my head or something. I keep thinking I hear a cat purring somewhere. I think I'm losing my mind. Okay, so we finished with the two big heroes. We're going to wrap up fairly soon, but I think we're just going to spend a couple minutes, and I swear to God, it'll just be a couple minutes, talking about a couple of the little dead related shows from over the weekend. Kate, are you still there?
Still here. So I'll do which one do you want to do first?
Since I know it'll be super fast because of how short the episode was itself, and I have no notes whatsoever. let's just quickly mention Ash versus Evil Dead, and then Jason and I can quickly talk about Walking Dead, and then we can all say goodnight.
Perfect. I will make this quick. I can really make this quick. This show is glorious for two very simple reasons. The humorous levels of gore this show has, like more blood than three humans could hold in their body being sprayed on people, and Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell is a treat every episode. This episode, my favorite part is when he's knocked out the mother, she's on the floor, and she finally gets up as a deadite, and he goes, man, I was really starting to feel like a dick there. And he realized that line, because he played that line so perfectly. I got such a laugh out of that, to see his character so almost like, I almost felt bad, which is not something you get out of Ash Williams ever. It was great to hear him vocalize that. And that's all I got to say about that show for this week.
I'm right there with you. It's so beautifully cartoonishly over the top, and you know the gore levels go to. I don't think anyone would ever be affected by it because it's like watching a Looney Tunes cartoon only with, you know, squishy blood squirting everywhere.
Yes, exactly.
I love that you have characters that were in a situation where, you know what, they could have taken a shower. Or at least cleaned up a bit before heading on somewhere else. But no, they don't. They continue on. And they even make fun of that in one moment when both Ash and what's the guy's name was with him? I can't remember his name right now.
Pablo.
Where they both had gotten drenched in blood from the latest Deadite they had killed. So Ash wipes himself off with a regular towel, and Paolo's, "Do you have anything for me?" And he gives him that little teeny tiny towelette.
Yeah, the moist towelette. Also, another one I have to point out, just the last one. When he's buried her parents, and it's got the big crucifixes and everything on there, and she goes, "You know they were Jewish," and he just looks at her and goes, "You could have told me that sooner."
It was like, "I wish you would have told me."
Yeah, that was good. Another great line.
Yeah, that again, that's something that we saw in the trailer for the show, but finally getting to see it in action was pretty awesome. So yeah, I love the fact the show is only a half an hour, because it's like, oh my god, it's over already. No commercial, so it's a solid half hour of insanity, which means if you think about it, if you string all the episodes together, it'll be like just one really gigantic movie. And I haven't watched it yet. Someone alerted me on Facebook that I would really, really, really enjoy last night's late show. Wow, I called it like three different things before I got to the title. Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I took a little look in my DVR. Wow, it's late. DVR menu there, and I realized, oh, apparently Bruce Campbell and Lucy Lawless were on.
Oh, so, man. I'm going to try to find a way to watch that.
Well, do you have a TV?
YouTube.
I do have a TV.
That was great.
It's on YouTube. It's probably on CBS.com, or you can just on-demand the show as well. So many ways.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch it.
Okay, but yeah, I'm really enjoying the show, and they're also ending with great music every time. They're really cranking out the classic rock on that episode show, so it's really kind of fun to watch. Okay, so then we also had the next day, this will be really quick, I bet, The Walking Dead. Jason, you watched it, right?
I did.
What was your opinion of this last episode of The Walking Dead?
It felt like a filler episode. It felt like something we've seen before, or after something traumatic has happened and everybody gets a chance to rest and recover before something else bad happens. I liked, Glenn is still dead. I'm going to say that. Maggie's pregnant. And the former mayor of Alexandria, I think that's the town.
Yep.
She's walking around in a daze because this is the first time that she's ever encountered violence, this level of violence, because they've been sheltered inside their walls for so long.
Well,
Oh, and Merritt Weaver's pretty good too.
Yes. Well, she's just good. So, even if she's given crap to do, she's going to be good.
Yeah. The best part of Nurse Jackie is now on Walking Dead.
Right. So although Walking Dead has had a habit of taking actors who were magnificent in previous TV shows and not really doing much with them here, like pretty much like anyone from The Wire, for example. long story short, I did not like the episode. It was an extreme form of filler to me, to the point where, if you take out the commercials, you have a 44-minute episode, and I could have done without about 40 minutes worth of it. I don't think it was exceptionally well written. I thought a lot of the scenes felt either too stagey, and I didn't believe the dialogue that was coming out of people's mouths. It just didn't ring true to me. It just felt like such a huge come down from the previous episode, as far as quality was concerned. I'll give. When I pointed this out online, people kept bringing up Maggie's pregnancy. It's like, okay, first of all, anyone who didn't see that coming, I don't know what show they're watching. I made a joke about that on commenting on an Entertainment Weekly article, because I refer to it as the shocker on Walking Dead, Maggie's pregnant. And I think my comment was, I used the old classic, here's another shocker, water is wet, or something like that.
Last night, checked the sled.
Last I checked, I have almost 60 likes for that comment, so obviously some people agree with me. I just felt this was an example of, they have so many more episodes of The Walking Dead than a normal cable show has, so we're going to have episodes like this, which are just there to pad it along, and I didn't care for that. I mean, you take out the sewer zombies and maybe a couple other little moments. It's like, I could have just done without the whole thing. So I'm hoping the next two will be better, but this one was easily my least favorite of the season. It just, it harkened back to all the things I don't like about the show.
Considering that from the beginning of the season, this is just one long day for them.
Yeah.
You know,
and here's the thing. That's, I hope, this is just a general TV comment now. Can this please be the last time a TV series thinks it's such a great idea to spend several episodes revolving around a day or two? It's not a good idea. It doesn't work very well. I give you everything, you know, How I Met Your Mother. Horrible, horrible idea. Worked horribly. Even the, like, what I mean, some things that worked despite it, like the Netflix series, the Wet Hot American Summer TV series, although I still thought that kind of was an issue for that as well. But
that wore thin towards the end.
Yeah, because it was maybe like two or three episodes too many for that. It's just like, oh, how long is this day going on? Because I'm not believing it. But that, you know what? It's almost acceptable for that because I don't think you're ever meant to believe anything. And that, no, it's just too bizarre and surreal to begin with. But this, it's like, enough already. Move on. Because this episode felt like they were just running in mud. It's like, you know, which obviously we've seen on the show. But, you know, figuratively speaking. So I'm hoping the next two are better. I'm hoping that I'm predicting that we're going to get something more definite about Glenn on the last episode before we go into the winter break. I think the unfortunate thing for Walking Dead right now, they're damned if they do and damned if they don't as far as Glenn is concerned. I mean, I'm of the mindset that he is going to be alive because it seems weird to have dragged it out and then him not be alive at this point. Because then why bother dragging it out at all then? Then why not be definitive about it? So
They'd be doing Sophia part two is what they'd be doing.
Oh, God. Anyway, I said I wanted to be brief, and that's all I wanted to say about it. I wasn't going to go into a Gotham-like rant about it, although I did say somewhere that I would have rather watched another episode of Gotham than sit through that episode, because at least I could be, you know, have fun cursing at the screen or something like that, or rolling my eyes, as opposed to just being bored. Because the one thing I'll say for Gotham, and which it, at least I may rip on it, I may say really mean things or curse or whatever, but I'm never bored by it. So it does have that going for it. Gotham never bores me. It angers me, but it never bores me. So I'll give it that one little bit of credit. Okay, I think the next podcast will probably be a little bit more caught up on the other comic booky shows that we sometimes like to talk about. I know that, you know, due to life and everything else, there are some shows that we're not quite caught up with. I don't know if any of us have gotten a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as of yet, for example.
I did.
Oh, of course. Okay. Outside of the dad, the one person who shouldn't have time for these things. some of you have or haven't watched Supergirl yet. I know I have. I would have talked about it, but I don't want to do that by myself here.
That's the one I haven't caught up. I got two episodes on DVR just sitting there. I haven't watched yet.
And again, like I said, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, of the CW shows that I watch, the latest iZombie was really good. Really good, really satisfying, and had an ending that made me go, whoa! But that's all I want to say about that, because maybe I'll talk about it a little bit more in the next podcast. So with all that said, I feel I should try to wrap things up here. Is that, unless anyone else has anything else they want to posit here?
You got one more day of that Walking Dead because of the next episode. It focuses on Abraham and Sasha and Daryl.
Okay. I'm going to hope I'm okay with that because I really like Daryl and Abraham, and maybe I'll get over my dislike of Sasha. I think I'm starting to like her more since she's been in the car for the last month with Abraham. So. longest road trip ever, which is only like a couple miles. Slowest drivers ever, apparently. Yeah, but also, where's Carol? Anyway. back to wrapping it up. If you enjoyed this... Oh, wait. Did you want to say something, Vicky?
Nope.
Damn it. So, if you want to say something, and you're not Vicky, you can say it to us on our Facebook page, which is Serious TV Drama Podcast page. You can type in Serious TV Drama in your search box and find us there. Join the page, join the conversation about pretty much any TV show you want to talk about there. Unless it's a show I really don't like, then I'll just delete you. No, I won't do that. You can also track us down on iTunes. Same way, search box, Serious TV Drama, should find us there. Feel free to subscribe to us. And please, we would like ratings and reviews there as well. Last I checked, I think we've been locked at like 34 ratings and 20 reviews. If we get at least a 40 ratings, five-star ratings, although I think it should be 50, but you know, we'll start small 40. Maybe we might do a special episode where we record me watching an episode of Gotham and just ripping it apart for an entire hour. I don't know. It could be like a live recap, but only ripping it apart at the same time. Who knows? And finally, you can also follow us on Twitter. It's at STVD Podcast. That's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. We send out links to the show there, and we also will occasionally send out tweets. I actually live tweeted the Walking Dead episode the other day. Some of my comments were not that nice. Yeah, whatever. And that's about it. So we look forward to getting together again, guys. Felt a little more truncated this time, but I think we got a lot of good conversation in. So again, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
It was fun.
Yay. And again, we'll regroup next week to talk about, you know, what looks to be an amazingly awesome episode of Flash. Yeah, I just went fangirl on what's coming. Grodd. Did anyone know Grodd was coming?
I know they said they were gonna have him this season, but I figured they'd save him for later. So to have him this early, I was kind of like, oh, okay, sure, let's do that.
Yeah, same. I knew he was gonna show up in the season, but I thought I would. I've heard about it ahead of time. I thought, you know, from like, you know, comicbook.com or comic book movie or comic book every other website is called comic book something, apparently. I thought one of them would have revealed that ahead of time. I would have spotted it. But when I saw that, I went, oh my God, I started like touching myself. I was like, Cisco and Wells. So oh, it's late. I shouldn't talk about it. So anyway, so we know we're going to have that to look forward to. So that might be a big Grodd podcast, and of course me and Dan will be doing the next Fargo one as well, which if you like Fargo, oh my God, you should be listening to our podcast, because I do way too much work for you people not to be listening to it.
Anyway. Watch the show too, it's an excellent show.
Yes, and if you don't have time to watch a show, just listen to our podcast, because it's probably twice as long as a show. No, it's not true. We don't do super long podcasts for that. It's one of the two best shows on TV right now. That and The Leftovers, I think, are both knocking it out of the park.
Bruce Campbell had a good week.
Yes. I did mention it on the podcast. You should listen to it, Jason. Okay, we're dragging this out, so let me start the ball rolling by saying good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whizzle, yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat. Beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The Flash,
the Flash, the Flash.
Meet the mighty Flash,
the Flash, the Flash.
In a fight he'll smash and crash, smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy. Thief or robber, the world's fastest. Yeah, man, the Flash,
the unbeatable Flash, the undefeatable Flash.
name, works with the police, justice is his aim. Wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it. When danger threatens, he'll switch in a minute. The Flash,
the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash.
Flash, the unbeatable Flash, the unbeatable Flash.